Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to read from verse number 12, continuing our series in the life of Joseph. I have spent my first night in Rathfeilin, but I'm told that doesn't make me a Rathfeilin man yet. I have to do one generation. I'm not sure what a generation is, but anyway, I've spent my first night, a good night's sleep, and it's lovely to be here this morning, and we are looking to the Lord. I believe we're going to have a good meeting, and I'll tell you why. Not because of the preacher, but we had a great prayer meeting. I really felt the presence of the Lord in the pre-service prayer meeting. It was great to hear so many take part, and so many pray, and so many indeed pour out their hearts to the Lord. If you've never been along to the pre-service prayer meeting, you know, it's not for an elite group. If you're able to make it, I know with family commitments sometimes it's not easy, but if you are able to make it, I believe it'll be a blessing to you, and it's a great encouragement to me as well. Genesis chapter 37, and reading from verse number 12, please. And his brethren, that's Joseph's brethren, went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it will be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? He said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed thence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colours that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. They sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes, and behold, and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. And there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren, and said, The child is not, and I wither, and I wither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the blood, the coat in the blood, and sent the coat of many colours, and they brought it to their father, and said, This have we found, know how whether it be thy son's coat or no. And they knew it, and said, It is my son's coat, an evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, For I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. The Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. And we know that God will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. One of the most famous quotes from a Charles Dickens novel comes from A Tale of Two Cities, where Dickens said it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. And as I thought about that quote and as reading through this passage, I was thinking in this passage we see some characteristics. I believe for a child of God we see the worst of us. I believe we also see the best of us. And I think hidden behind this passage, we'll not get time to look at it this morning, I think hidden behind this passage you see the greatest of us, because there's a lovely picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. We all have to admit there are some of God's people, and at times they do let the Lord down. They feel the Lord miserably, and in some believers sometimes we see the worst. But then again, we have to acknowledge at times we see the best. We have to, even like John the Baptist said of the Lord, as he looked at the Lord, he said he wasn't worthy to unloose his shoe latches. And we look at some of God's children and we have to be honest and say we're not worthy to tie their laces. They're head and shoulders above us when it comes to their walk and their life and how they honour the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at the worst of us this morning and the best of us. And then next week, God willing, I want to see the greatest of all. But I want you to see, first of all, the worst of us. I think in Joseph's brethren, Joseph's 10 older brothers, we see the worst of us. I'm going to, first of all, talk about the rest of the brothers. And then I want to say a little bit about Reuben in a moment or two. But think of the rest of the brothers. Think of their standing. Look at verse number 12. And their brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. This tells us two things about them. They were sons and they were servants. And you know, that's what you are if you're saved. You're a son and you're a servant. And so what we're thinking about this morning is what these brothers did to one of their own. If we can bring it into the 21st century, bring it into this dispensation, we're really saying what some of God's people might do to their own. And I say in the attitude and the actions of these brothers, I think we see the worst of us. Paul said in Galatians 6 verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And then he qualifies it a little bit. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We have a responsibility to do good to all men. A special responsibility to treat each other good. As God's children, as part of his family. We have that God-given responsibility. As we look at these brethren, they didn't fulfill that responsibility. Do you see their standing? Their sons and their servants. Look at their station in verse 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. We mentioned last week something about Shechem. It was there where Jacob's daughter Dinah had been defiled. Genesis 34 verse 2. It was a place associated with shame and sin. Remember, Simeon and Levi carried out a brutal act in that place. And so the brothers should have known better. But you know what they're doing? They're going back to some old haunts. They're going back to some old ways. And maybe there's a child of God here this morning. You can identify with this. There's things that you're nearly getting involved in. At once you would have said no to. Maybe you're even involved in them this morning. Do you find yourself being drawn back into some old habit or some old haunt? These brethren should have known better. Maybe you find yourself acquainting with some old friend, some old attitude. Greed, envy, bitterness. And this is a picture I want to paint this morning as we look at the worst of us. As we look at these brethren. Reuben was the oldest and therefore Reuben is the one that should have been in charge. And Reuben is the old man, if you like, is the one that should have been given direction. And I wonder, have you listened to the old man? That old nature. That old desires that should have been under the blood that once you had dealt with, but they have come back again. You see their standing, their sons in service. You see their station, they're back into the old places and the old ways. Let me say something about their sinning. This could rightly be described as an anatomy of sin. Think of preventing, first of all, look at verses 7 to 8 in the same chapter. We dealt with those last week. This was Joseph's dream. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheep arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheep stood round about and made obeyance to my sheep. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated them yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Now, what does the dreams represent? They represent the word of God. These brethren had heard the word of God. And rather than accepting the word of God, they're resisting the word of God. Rather than letting the word of God work in their lives and change them, they are preventing the word of God having any impact in their lives. Look at verse 18 to 20. You see the object of their hatred. When they saw him afar off, behold, he came near unto them. They conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. You see, the dreams really, really got to them. Remember, the dreams are the word of God. And here are some people, we're counting them as part of God's family, and they've heard the word of God, and the word of God has told them what's going to happen, told them what God's plan is for Joseph, what God's going to do. Rather than accept the word of God, they're fighting against the word of God. And this is where sin begins. When God speaks through his word, And rather than accept his word, rather than just being a hearer only, we refuse to be doers. And maybe again, this is where you are this morning. You've heard the word of God. The word of God has been clear. God has been speaking to you. You have an opportunity to obey the word of God, and God will bless you for it, but you haven't. And this is where we find these brethren. You see they're preventing, then you see they're thinking. Look at verse number 4 in Genesis 37. When his brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, it says they hated him. Look at the end of verse 5. They hated him yet the more. Look at verse 11. And his brethren envied him. Stephen, recounting this in Acts 7 verse 9, said they moved with envy. And envy, of course, rots your inside. Solomon said, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Peter said this, we're to lay aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, and envies. And then he says in the next verse, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Envy stunts growth spiritually. And these brethren were filled with hatred. They were filled with envy. They're thinking awful thoughts about Joseph. They just hate him. You see, the word of God had come. If they had have accepted the word of God, they never would have got to this stage. They resist the word of God. They fight against the word of God. And now they're starting to think terrible things about Joseph, and they hate Joseph. They hate one of their own. James says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. It never stops there. Because you see they're preventing. They didn't want to hear what God had to say. You see they're thinking, and that's where it needs to be dealt with. When you refuse the word of God and you start to think bad thoughts. Then you see they're conspiring. Look at verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Now it's out of their heads and it's into their mouths. They're now talking about it. It becomes a talking point. It becomes a planning point. It becomes a plotting point. They want to do something about it. You see the worst of us here. You see, God spoke to them, and they refuse to hear what God has to say. Then they start to think awful things about another brother. But it doesn't stop with the thinking. Now they've got together like a little clique, and they're discussing one of their own. And they're not just happy. Not happy to think evil thoughts. Now they're talking evil things, but you know, it moves on to something even worse. You see the preventing? The word of God could have prevented it. You see they're thinking. They reject the word. They're thinking awful thoughts. You see they're conspiring. Now they're planning to do something about it. Then you see they're acting it out. And I've broken this down again into a few simple headings. Look at verse 23. You see they're stripping. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colours that was on him. They stripped the coat off him. Have you ever stripped a brother or sister in Christ? I mean, you've stripped away their testimony. You've knocked stripes off them. You've taken strips off their character, of their testimony. You've taken strips off them of any good at all. And all you ever want to do is show others how bad they are. This is what Joseph's brethren had done. They stripped him. They took off his coat of many colours. Then they shoved him, or we could say they shunned him. Look at verse 24. They took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. And there was no water in it. They really hang him out to dry. They leave him out of the conversation. He's out of their company. He's thrown into the pit. Have you ever done such a thing with a child of God? Young people need to be very careful here. I've seen in so many young people in churches I've been involved with, there's always one or two that seem to be isolated. Nobody seems to bother with them. No one seems to take time to encourage them or spend time with them. And young people, it can be so hurtful. It's easy when you're one of the crowd. But if you're the one that's left out, it becomes hurtful and painful. And this is what Joseph's brethren's doing with one of their own. They've shoved them into a pit. They're ignoring him. They've sent them to Coventry, if you like. They're not interested in him. This is what they're doing. They've stripped him. They've shoved him into this pit. And then we see them sitting as well, because we find that they're sitting on the pit. But before I mention that, I think there's something else here as well. When you see Joseph in this dark pit where there's no water, there's no hope that he can get out of it. It's a little picture of a lost soul. Here's someone in a pit, and there's no hope for them. They're lost. And what are their brothers doing? Remember what the psalmist said? He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. You and I, who were sinners, we were in the pit. We were lost. There was no hope. But look what they do in verse 25. It says they sat down to eat bread. They had a picnic when there was one in the pit. And you know, that is so like God's people today. There are men and women and young people, and they're on their way to hell, and God's people are having picnics. Don't seem to have any interest in lost souls. We're sitting down and having picnics when people are lost. You know, if we really cared about lost souls, our Wednesday night prayer meeting would be the best attended meeting. Every father or mother who's got a child unsaved will want to be there and praying for them. Our gospel service would be a meeting you'd want to be in because you're interested in lost souls. But so often we're sitting down having picnics while people are dying and going to hell. And here you see Joseph's brethren. They're having a picnic while their brother is in this awful, awful pit. But you know, I don't want to go off course this morning. Thinking of the brothers, it says in verse 25, they sat down to eat bread. In Genesis 42, verse 21, we get another little detail. Listen to this. And they said one to another, this is later on when they're worried about their sin. We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Joseph must have been crying out of the pit. He must have been screaming for help. He must have been pleading with them to get him out of the pit. And they sit down, and they have a picnic. I wonder, did they give thanks? I would say they probably did. What hypocrisy. To leave a brother wallowing in the pit, and for them to sit down and have a picnic and just ignore someone. I think this morning we're seeing the worst of us, the worst that you can ever see. You see the stripping, you see the shoving, you see the sitting. Then you see the selling in verse 26 to 28. This story is well known. Verse 26, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him unto the Ishmaelites, and let us not hand our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. What would the Midianites think? Here are, as they're concerned, here are God's people, Israel, God's chosen people. And what are they doing? They're selling one of their own for 20 shekels, 20 pieces of silver. According to Leviticus 27, it's just the price of a slave. That's how they looked upon one another. That's how they treated one of their own. I wonder what the Ishmaelites thought. They must have thought they haven't much of a God. They certainly haven't much love for each other. And I wonder what the world thinks if it looks upon you and I as God's children, and they can see that bitterness and betrayal and anger at times among us. I wonder what they think. They certainly couldn't think much of our Savior if that's all the difference he's made in our lives. What a poor testimony these brothers are having. I wonder if you ever sold a brother or sister in the Lord. Have you ever sold them cheaply? Someone has been saying something about them, and rather than you defend them because you know the truth, you wanted to hear more and you kept silent, and you're selling them. You just sold them for a little bit of goosey, juicy gossip. Even if it's true. I wonder at times if you've been guilty of spreading something about a brother or sister in the Lord. You know what you're doing? You're selling them, and you're selling them very cheaply. I think you see the worst of us here. You see the stripping and the shoving and the sitting and the selling. You see the sinning and the preventing. They didn't listen to the word of God. You see their thinking. It began with hatred in their mind. Then you see they're conspiring. They're now talking about it. They're getting together. Then you see them acting. And now you see them lying. Look at verse 31 to 34. One sin leads to another. It's like a spider's web. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it unto their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his sons many days. We could say something about Jacob here. You know, Jacob knew the dreams. Jacob understood that one day that him and his wife and the sons would bow down to Joseph. That hadn't happened. If Jacob had have believed the word and not trusted his feelings, he wouldn't have believed this lie. But Joseph goes by feelings. He sees what he thinks is the evidence. And he thinks he must have lost his life. And Jacob believes this and really rejects the word of God. He goes by sight and not by faith. But we're thinking of the brothers here. And I think you can see the deception here as they tell lies and one sin leads to another. Then let me say something about their pondering, because I read this verse here earlier on. This is 20 years down the line. In Genesis 42 verse 21. And here's the same brothers. And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." You know, 20 years later, and they're still feeling guilty about it. The way of the transgressor is hard. And child of God, this morning, it's easy to fall into the trap of sin. Envy gets into our hearts. It can lead to bitterness and hatred. And we start to say bad things. Then we conspire to do bad things. Then we do bad things. And we find ourselves so far gone, it seems there's no way back. And Joseph's brethren, for 20 years, it didn't cost them a thought to throw him into the pit. It didn't cost them a thought to sell him to the Ishmaelites. It never bothered them to lie to their father. And as soon as the sin is over, they're racked with guilt for 20 years. The way of the transgressor is hard. I say to you, dear believer, this morning, if God speaks through his word, that's the time to obey. That's the time to deal with it. If God's speaking to you about something, don't fight against the word of God. Don't argue against the word of God. Accept the word of God. Believe the word of God. Is there envy breeding in anyone's heart here this morning? Remember, the father had gifted Joseph with a lovely coat. Has the Lord gifted someone in the assembly here? And rather than rejoice that someone's using the gifts, there's a little bit of envy there. If truth is told, it annoys you sometimes. You know, that can lead to bitterness and lead to all sorts of things. And we need to thank the Lord that he does gift people. And remember what I said about the breastplate before. There are 12 precious stones in the breastplate. They represent the tribes of Israel. But if we were to think of them, of God's people, right on the heart of the Saviour, right in the heart of our great high priest, but everyone has their own place. And you're part of the body of Christ. And the Lord has something for you to do. God has gifted you in a way. And I've watched too many believers looking at someone else's gift with envy to such a degree that they neglect the gift that is in them and they never do anything for the Lord. Don't fall into that trap. I think in Joseph's brethren we see the worst of us here. Paul says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil a foothold, or else it will become a stronghold. We said something about the rest. By the way, I've lost my watch. And it's hard to see the clock at the back, but I'm doing my best. If you see me squinting, I'm just trying to make sure that I'm not going over the time. But I've no watch with me, and so I trust we'll keep an eye on the clock. We see the rest. Then I want to say something about Reuben. Because I think Reuben here is a special case. Because there may be someone in the meeting and you're in Reuben's position this morning. I want to say something about Reuben's career. Reuben had been a bad boy. Genesis 49, 3-4. We read, "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power, unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it." He went up into my couch. He had committed incest. I'm not going to go into it this morning. He had been a bad boy. He's wrecked with guilt. But I want you to see something good about him in this story. Notice his care in verse 20-21. "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what shall become of his dreams." Verse 21. "And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him." He doesn't want Joseph to be hurt. He wants to try and do the right thing for Joseph. He wasn't aware that God was going to work things out anyway, but I believe Reuben wanted to do the right thing. Look at his care. Look at the compromise in verse 22. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he may rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And you see, rather than say, Look, this is wrong, and I'm taking him back to my father, he tries to compromise. He says, Look, let's throw him in the pit, and he hopes later on to come and take him out of the pit, and take him back to his father and save his life. And so he's compromising. He wasn't big enough to stand up and say, This is wrong. I'm not going to go with this. This is not right. Now, I wonder this morning if we are Reuben in the meeting. God has been speaking to you about something. And you know what's right. And you know what's wrong. And Reuben wanted to do the right thing. He tries to come somewhere halfway. And maybe that's where you are this morning. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. And God's speaking to you. And God's asking you to take a stand for him. Wherever it is. It could be at home, it could be in the workplace, it could be in the neighborhood, it could be in the church. And the Lord's asking you to take a stand for him. You see his care, you see his compromise. But you know, Reuben was away when they had sold him as a slave. Look at verse 29. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. He rent his clothes, he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? Whither shall I go? It's a bit late now for him to take a stand. He had the opportunity. I believe he wanted to do the right thing. He should have said to them as the oldest, he said, Look, this is not right. I'm going to take him back to my father. But he didn't. He hadn't the courage of his convictions. And he compromised. And now he can do nothing about it. And you know, he's culpable as well, because when it comes to the lying to the father, Reuben goes along with it. Isn't it sad that Reuben didn't listen to his conscience? Isn't it sad that Reuben didn't listen when God was speaking and he knew what was right and wrong? Now Reuben's just as guilty as the rest of them. He did want to do the right thing, but he hadn't the courage to do it. And maybe there's someone in Reuben's shoes this morning. I don't know. God has been speaking to you and you know what's right. God's asking you to take a stand for him. And I would say to you this morning, is he worth it? Is it worth taking a stand for the Lord? Samuel says, Them that honor me, I will honor. You see the worst of us. Let me finish off this morning quickly with looking at the best of us. I think in Jacob and in Joseph, you see the best of us. Think of Jacob in verse 37, verse 2. He knew that these boys were bad. He knew they were a bad bunch. Joseph had brought their evil report at the end of verse number 2. And even though they were bad, look at verse 14. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren and with the flocks. And notice he's more concerned with his brethren than the flocks. And that's a good thing. I've known some people and they're more concerned about their flocks than their children. And their business is always ahead of everything else. Their work's ahead of everything else. The children are there somewhere. But at least he puts the brethren before the flocks. And that's a good example for fathers. That the children are much more important than your work, your business, your farm, or anything. And your spiritual walk's more important. I've known some, especially in farming, and I'm not getting at the farmers, for I love the farmers. And they've spent so long, they never seem to be able to get to the meetings on the Lord's Day. And their spiritual life is in tatters. But they've got a great farm. They've a great farm. But they've no spiritual life. And their families have suffered. And here's Jacob. Even though these boys were a bad bunch, notice he's concerned with their well-being. I think that's a good example. I think he's a little bit like the father in the story of the prodigal son. Remember the father, when he saw the son coming back, he saw him a great way off. I wonder, did he go out every day and look for him? And even though the son was away and he was out in the mountains wild and bare, if we can put it like that this morning, the father never stopped caring or loving him. And here is a good example. Even though these were bad boys, Jacob still loved them and still cared for them. I think in Joseph too, we see the best of us as well, especially when we think of service. Verse 13 to 14, Israel, that is Jacob, said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I. You see his submissiveness. Joseph knew what these boys were like. But you know, his father had asked him to do something. And he's just willing to go. He's submissive to the father's will. Even though he had a special coat, It didn't go to his head. He realized his responsibility and he's submissive to the Father. I wonder, are we this morning? If the Lord said to us to go somewhere, would we go? We may go if we think there's something in it for us. But you know, there's nothing in it here for Joseph. You see his submissiveness. You see his sacrifice as well, because he was going to leave the comforts of Hebron and travel some 60 miles to perform this service. And he could have said, this is too far, this is too much. But he doesn't. He's willing to sacrifice. See the best of Joseph. See the best of us in Joseph. See his submissiveness to the Father's will. You see his willing to sacrifice for others, even though they didn't deserve it. You see his steadfastness, verse 15 to 17. A certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? He said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed thence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. When he comes, they're not there. Now, some of us may have said, tough. We've tried. We've failed. Let's go back home. Not Joseph. He wanted to do the Father's will. And he was willing to stick at it. He wasn't just going to throw in the towel. He wasn't going to give up after the first night. We see so many in service for the Lord. And when things are going well, they're in there. But the first problem, the first hitch, and they're nowhere to be seen. Not Joseph. Joseph was steadfast. Joseph was stout-hearted. Joseph was going into a foreign place, into hostile people. He knew what they were like. But we know that he wore the coat. Remember what he said last week? We know they stripped him of his coat of many colours. You know what he said last week? It's easy to wear the coat on the Lord's day. It's easy to come to church and wear the coat. It's an easy place to say you belong to Jesus Christ. But it's a different thing on a Monday morning. It's a different thing to have it on 7 days a week. And here's Joseph, even though he was going somewhere that was hostile, he wasn't ashamed to be associated with his father and to wear the coat. I think in Joseph, we see the best of us. You know something else that's very, very simple. You know, when he came to Shechem, they weren't there. He had to go on to Dothan. You know, he had to go the extra mile for his brother. Are we willing to do that? It may be literally an extra mile. There may be someone, and you know, if you just called with them, what an encouragement it would be. You maybe even said, I'll call and see you sometime. But you know, you've never kept that promise. But you know, it's going to put you out of your way. You're going to have to drive a little bit out of your way. Literally, it could just be an extra mile or two. What a difference it would make to them if you called. What a difference it might make if you lifted the phone and rang someone. I know it can be a nuisance. There's so much going on and there's people with needs and we can get so caught up in our own needs, and yet there's somebody, and you know them this morning, and they just need a little word of encouragement. Just to lift the phone. Just a little written note. Just a wee word of encouragement at the right time. What a difference that would make. But it means going the extra mile. I thank God for some of God's people who are always willing to go the extra mile. Nothing seems to bother them. There never seems to be a time when they say, I'm doing too much for Jesus Christ. I'm doing too much for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. You see Joseph? He knew that these brothers didn't deserve it. He knew they weren't worthy of it. But you know, he was willing. He was willing to go the extra mile for them. Are you willing to go the extra mile when it comes to forgiveness? Someone needs your forgiveness, but you know you've been holding out. You don't want to forgive them. You don't want to let go of that hurt. You don't want to let it go. And yet the Lord has been speaking to you. He's asking you to go that extra mile and to forgive that hurt. To forgive them. You see the best of us in the life of Joseph. We see how Joseph goes the extra mile for his brethren. I think you can see the worst of us in this story when you look at the 10 brothers. I think when you look at Reuben, you see a case of a man who wanted to do the right thing. But he didn't do it. I think that would be an awful thing. For God to speak into somebody's heart. For them to want to do the right thing. And you know, to miss the opportunity to take their stand. Or maybe this morning there's someone you know and they just need you
to go the extra mile for them. Yes, the pastor has his role to play. He needs to encourage people. He needs to be there for people. But you know, it's not a one-man ministry. And maybe God has gifted you with the gift of encouragement, just like Barnabas. And someone, somewhere, needs your encouragement this morning. But you're going to have to go the extra mile. It's going to put you out a little bit. Are you going to show the best of us? Or are you going to show the worst of us? Next Sunday, God willing, I want to look at the greatest of all, as we see Jesus Christ in this story as well. Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for thy precious word. Lord, we thank you for the good example of Joseph and indeed Jacob. We thank you, Lord, for them. They cared about other people. And even though the brothers didn't deserve it, yet, Lord, they didn't hold back in their care and their love to others. But Lord, in the 10 brothers and in Reuben, Lord, we see the worst of us. And yet, Lord, maybe you're speaking to some of our hearts this morning. Maybe there's been envy in there. Lord, we know that that can lead to terrible things. Lord, give us the grace this morning to confess it, to have it dealt with. And Heavenly Father, to show not only our brothers and sisters in Christ, but indeed to show others in this area and district the best of us and not the worst of us, that they might indeed know and take note that we've been with Jesus. So Lord, bless thy word to our hearts. Lord, if there is a Reuben here this morning, and God, you've been speaking very directly to them, and they're faced with a decision. They know what's right, and they know what's wrong. Lord, give us, all of us, not just the convictions, but the courage of our convictions, to take our stand for Jesus Christ. For we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Closing hymn for this part of the service is again in Songs of Victory, number 423, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, words with heavenly comfort fraught, whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. 423, and we'll stand and sing together. No.
His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the Heavenly Father, we thank You for the leading of His faithful hand. And even though Joseph found himself in the pit and will find himself in prison, yet, Lord, he could look back and say, all things work together for good to them that love God. So, Lord, we thank You for the example of Joseph. We thank You for this time here this morning. We just pray, Lord, as we gather around the Lord's table, that we would know a continued sense of Thy presence. Bless those who must leave us and continue with us, and may we really sense Thy presence. For we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.